This week on the Canadian Tech Podcast, Bell has upped its rates in Manitoba, Atari wants to crowdfund the Atari box, BlackBerry made a profit, and Netflix is opening a Canadian production house. That's all next and more on the Canadian Tech Podcast. The Canadian Tech Podcast is sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. Olio are the planners, designers, and developers of the apps used by some of Canada's biggest brands. Find out what Olio can do for you at oliodigitallabs.com. And we're also sponsored by CodeShip, continuous integration and delivery software that lets you ship your apps with confidence. Both CodeShip Basic and CodeShip Pro come with a free plan that grants 100 builds per month, unlimited projects, and unlimited users. Visit CodeShip.com today to find out which CodeShip product is right for you.
Welcome to the Canadian Tech Podcast, episode 134 for Sunday, October the 1st, 2017, sponsored by Olio Digital Labs and CodeShip. My name is Stuart Clark.
And my name is Derek Silva.
Well, there we go. And can you believe how fast September went by?
No, and I'm not very happy about it because it's pitch black outside, as if it's midnight.
Well, the time change will happen soon enough.
Yeah, and it'll be pitch black earlier in the morning.
Well, no.
We oh, wait, no. Morning. It'll be long. Yeah, it'll be sunrise in the morning, shorter when I don't evenings. Care. And dark even earlier. Great.
Yay. I'm just happy for the cooler weather at last.
Yeah, it's going back up to like 23 on Thursday, so don't get used to it.
Yeah, but it won't be 40 degree humidity, so.
Fair enough.
I'll live with that. Fair. All right, let's get right into those quick hits.
Let's do that. Starting 2 days ago, Rogers and Fido have been waiving the unlock fee for all devices purchased through its channels at full cost, so not on contract, you're paying outright, instead of waiting for the December 1st due date that the CRTC mandated last year, I think. Earlier this year, on June 15th, CRTC made that decision and gave all carriers until December 1st to begin selling phones unlocked and unlocking older phones for free upon request. So if you're not, well, it doesn't matter. If you have a phone now, 2 more months, you can unlock it for free, literally two more months from today. And if you just happen to be a Rogers or Fido subscriber, or you're switching to them soon, if you can, I would highly recommend buying your phone outright, and then you can make them unlock it now for free.
Saves them the hassle of having to go back in and do it later.
Just live a little bit of that European lifestyle.
That's right.
All right. This past Tuesday, Twitter started testing, very limited, without trying to get around it, a very limited test to double the maximum tweet size to 280 characters. The biggest reason I've heard pretty much everywhere is that in Asian countries where you're writing in kanji or kanji-like characters, so that's Chinese, Japanese, Korean, because kanji, you can express sounds or whole words sometimes in a single character, there's actually a lot more usage in those countries, a lot more people tweeting and more tweets from those people because they can express about double what we can in, for lack of a better word, Latin-based and Cyrillic-based languages, which require a lot more characters to do the same thing. So, as of Tuesday, you can start, if you're part of the test, you can start posting up to 280 character tweets. There are some ways to get around them. We're not going to talk about them here, but if you look for them, there are some ways to disable your 140 characters, tweet out 280 characters, etc. I'm okay with this. I know there's a big backlash amongst some people. I'm perfectly fine with this. If this is what they feel they need to do to keep the company growing, the platform growing, and keep it around, I'm good with that because I love Twitter.
I wonder if Donald Trump requested it.
I wouldn't put it past him.
I'm just leaving it there.
You know, Jack, if I could just have just a little bit more room to tweet, that would be really nice. That was a terrible impression,
you know,
I'm aware.
Yeah, that's a very terrible impression. Not that they have any plans. They've already said, yes, he breaks the rules all the time, but we're not banning
him. No, because he's the president of the United States of America.
Well, and it's good money for us.
Yeah, of course. I don't blame it sucks, but no. I don't blame them at all.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
File this in the no, really?
Really?
Department.
Or the I told you so.
Department.
Or we told you
or
so.
Or we told you so department. And pretty much everybody told you so department. Exactly 6 months after Bell acquired MTS Manitoba, they have increased the price for phone services by $1.95 per month, TV by $2.95 per month, and home internet service, home, I don't know about business, but home, by $3.95 per month, respectively. Not so respectively, I gave you each one. But anyway, that is literally almost exactly 6 months after Bell bought MTS for $3.9 billion. Their rationale, according to Dan McKean, senior executive in Western Canada for Bell MTS, quote, telcos and cable companies across the country are faced with many of the same industry drivers. TV content costs are going up, and there is exponential increase in internet usage. It's not specific to any one provider. They are industry issues, end quote. And I should have done that like a surfer dude accent instead, because that I do pretty well. No surprise here, unfortunately. What I don't get is he's saying TV content costs going up. Okay, that's true. But TV content costs going up do not affect phone or specifically home internet, especially when home internet went up $4 a month almost versus $3 a month.
You're not supposed to make that connection. You're just supposed to, you know, take it. Scared.
Thanks, Bell.
Yeah.
Moving on. Somebody from Atari recently did an interview with a publication called GamesBeat. Sorry, I've never heard of them. And they said a few things. They're going to be doing a crowdfunding campaign on Indiegogo this fall. That's concerning. So that they can launch the Atari box in spring 2018. Apparently, it's going to launch with a large back catalog of the publisher's classic games. The idea is to create a box that makes people feel nostalgic about the past, but is also capable of running really modern games like Minecraft or Terraria. Sorry, independent games like Minecraft or Terraria, not necessarily modern. However, the new box...
Take my money now.
The new box is supposed to have a custom AMD processor with Radeon graphics. I'm good with that. It's going to run Linux. The user interface is being customized for the lean back experience on TVs.
Yes.
It's supposed to run PC games. It'll also be capable of doing streaming, running apps, browsing the web, playing music. It is a Linux box after all. If a Chromebook can do it, so can this. Basically, this will be capable of running any games that a mid-range PC can do today. So it's not going to run AAA games that require really high-end PC performance, like, I don't know, what was that crazy space exploration game that got pooped on when it first came out?
See, I've even forgot. Let's just say Call of Duty.
Sure, the latest Call of Duty, 2025 or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So they're saying it's going to cost between $250 and $300 US. That's about $375 Canadian. Not bad. But an Xbox One and a PlayStation 4 don't start that much more expensive than that.
But
so,
it's not the same. It's not Atari.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, Indiegogo really concerns me because it means... Well, it means either potentially they don't have the money to make this happen.
People are going to put their money where their mouth is.
Or to make sure that people actually want to buy it. And that's legit. That's fine. But all the best luck to Atari. And if you're interested, you know, keep track of this so you can get in on the Indiegogo. Kick Interactive. We talked a few weeks ago about how they were going to do an initial coin offering using the KIN token, which only works in Kick's platform. Son of a gun, almost $100 million US. So it's about 120, 125 million Canadian. It was a 2-week public sale. That brought in roughly 47.5 million US. And then the public sale The public sale followed the private pre-sale. That round brought in about $50 million US from institutional investors. So yes, they were $25 million short of the target, but that's still a hefty amount of money.
And I'll still take 1% of that.
Yeah, and that was over 10,000 participants from 117 countries, which actually makes it one of the most widely held cryptocurrencies globally anywhere. Canada was actually blacklisted from the ICO, apparently, because Canada was blacklisted from the ICO as the country labeled KIN as a security, opening up the cryptocurrency to strict regulations. Yeah, that's a shame. But anyway, they did all right, and it's a Canadian company, so good for them.
There you go.
Last but not... I think this is last.
Second last.
Second last, my bad. Second last, and certainly not least, there's a company called Better Current. They've brought out... They're bringing out a new product called Jenny, J-E-N-N-I. It's a pun on the word generator. And it's supposed to help people just like a stepping stone into living a greener lifestyle. And basically what this is a small solar panel that is designed to provide power to tablets, smartphones, laptops for under $500 Canadian. One of the co-founders is a guy named Colin Campbell. He said that the idea was about like being able to use this from his apartment, and his other co-founder was already working on solar energy products. So they got together and worked on this. And, so basically it's a solar charger. You can use it for consumer electronics. It's available for less than $500, and where can you buy it? I'm looking for the link.
Well, you're looking at that. It's also neat because it also plugs into the wall, so yes. It has smart charging. So it'll figure out if it realizes there's not enough sun, but it knows you still want a full charge. It'll take some from the hydro.
Ah, there you go. So it's actually
kind of a hybrid model.
Yeah, it's actually currently on Indiegogo. The earlier bird price is about $280 Canadian. Full retail will be about $430 Canadian. And so check that out. Link is in the show notes to the Mobile Syrup story, and you can probably find it from there.
Cool.
Last, maybe least. No, I'm just joking.
No,
just Microsoft had their big Ignite conference this week. It was like the entire week. So depending on your what you care about for Microsoft, there was something for you each day. They started showing off what they're doing with LinkedIn. Basically, if you have Office 365 and you're probably using Outlook on the web or on your desktop, doesn't really matter, you're now going to start seeing the LinkedIn profiles for your contacts right in Office 365. And if you use Dynamics 365 for sales, soon you'll be able to get the same integration, and you're going to be able to send LinkedIn in-mails and messages directly from within Dynamics.
Cool.
So that's pretty cool. And bigger news, I think, for most people, Microsoft Teams, which a lot of us already have access to through Office 365, it's going to start replacing Skype for Business. Mm-hmm. Skype for Business is actually Microsoft Link rebranded and redesigned to look like Skype. So not a huge surprise, because this actually is a legacy Microsoft product in a way. It's being replaced by Microsoft Teams. We don't know what that means necessarily for Skype. I know Skype for iOS just got a redesign, and that's going to be out soon. But that's the big thing here, is that Skype for Business is going away. It's going to be replaced with Teams. They're really pushing Teams. I've heard Teams is actually pretty good. And it's going to be the primary experience for all voice, video, and meetings.
I can't see Skype going away for the consumer side.
Probably not.
There's just too many people that use it. A lot of those people are like grandparents and stuff like that. They had it set up. You know, they're not necessarily going to adapt to a new product quickly.
True. So, but what if you just rebranded Skype, like normal Skype? I don't know. You can't call it Teams because that doesn't make sense. But you call it Families.
Maybe, yeah.
Microsoft Families. And you make it look exactly like Teams, just slightly different branding. Works with Teams, right? Same client.
But they have to make it free.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Slack has a free version. Slack has a free version. HipChat has a free version. We're using Discord. There's a free version there. Microsoft can afford a free version while they're already using
Skype. I'm thinking
Skype
people
free,
that use Skype who, let's say, don't have FaceTime. They use it as a video call thing to call the grandkids and stuff like that. That is still huge.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go, Microsoft. Rename it Families, and you're good to go. That's all you need to do.
And give Derek a cut.
0.5% would be enough.
Hey, that's all we need.
I'm cheap.
You know, we'll take 0.25% for the podcast and 0.5% for me. There you go.
There we go.
0.05% for me. There you go. Okay, that's all the quick hits. Now let's talk about our good friends at CodeShip.
CodeShip is great. They've been sponsoring us now for about 5 months. They're going to keep sponsoring us for another, 7 months from today. They just committed to another 6 months. So, thank you for CodeShip for sticking with Canadian Tech Podcast. And they said this is going really well. So that's great. You know, we're glad that we're able to find them, new customers, even if it's just the basic version. And actually, I've been running across some of their content marketing they've been doing with Laravel and stuff like that. And I'm like, I think we really need to bring this into Olio. So now I'm going to take a serious look at CodeShip and bringing it into Olio's workflow, at least on some projects, because we need something like this. So what is it? CodeShip is a software as a service delivered continuous integration and delivery solution. It lets you ship your apps with confidence. What does that mean? Well, it means you get a fully customizable CI and delivery service with native Docker support. It is way easier to use than Jenkins or Travis or any of those other ones you've probably used before. It makes it really easy to test and deploy your microservices. You can push your code to any registry. It's also perfect if you want to deploy with Kubernetes, another thing I'm getting into lately. And it comes with a really convenient local command line tool that allows you to run your builds locally, helps encrypt your environment variables. That's important. And guarantees 100% parity between your development and your production environments. So there's two different versions, CodeShip Basic and CodeShip Pro. They both come with a free plan that grants 100 builds per month, unlimited projects, and unlimited users. And if you're a fan of open source, great news. CodeShip is too. Open source projects are always free on CodeShip. So visit CodeShip.com today or check out CodeShip.com/features to find out which CodeShip product is the best fit for you and probably your whole team.
All right. As Derek says, we once again want to thank CodeShip for their ongoing support of the Canadian Tech Podcast. All right, let's get into the news. You remember that company BlackBerry?
Yes.
Okay, you know, they were doing really not well, rather poorly. They've had a few rough years. Well, guess what? They just reported their quarter, and they actually made a profit. I know, scary. If I had an applause sound effect, I would do that. They posted net income of $19 million following a loss of $300. So they're really doing well. They're definitely a strategy of going more and more from the making cell phone maker to a software firm. Looks like it's working. The shares are up 12%.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good. They're also announced a deal with car part supplier Delphi Automotive on a software operating system for self-driving cars.
Nice.
John Chen, the analyst on Thursday, the company to earn $5 to $25 a car as it expands into more self-driving vehicles. So there we go. And apparently it's already a leading provider of the in-car information entertainment software.
Yep, that's QNX.
QNX, which gives them $1.50 to $5 per vehicle.
So nice.
Not too bad at all. Yeah. Any other comment on this?
Imagine, it's no real surprise to me that getting out of the handset business, the design, the manufacturing, all that, outsourcing that effectively to TCL and letting TCL do whatever they want with the BlackBerry brand, which I'm not certain has worked out well for anybody, but regardless, getting out of it entirely has actually let them focus on areas of growth, right?
Mm-hmm.
They dumped BlackBerry OS in general, whether it was 8, 9, or 10, way too late. They worked way too hard on trying to recapture the magic that the BlackBerry brand once had in hardware. We've talked about this before, so I don't want to go on about it ad nauseum, but they made a lot of mistakes. The old leadership there tried to fix the mistakes. And once they brought in John Chen, he's like, stop trying to fix those mistakes. It's too late.
take the horse out to the back 40. And
yes. Take the horse out back, turn it around, and do what you need to do to put it down and move on. And the hardware horse, unfortunately, wasn't getting them anywhere anymore. It was bleeding them dry. And I know they had a couple $1 billion still in the bank, but regardless, that's a nice place to be when you need to make that decision to just cut your losses and move forward with something else. They bought good technology. They bought a German security firm. They bought a bunch of other companies. They've got mobile device management software that I think is doing well. They've got, obviously, security software that's doing well. They bought QNX a while ago. That turned into BlackBerry OS 10. That's code base. Thankfully, they didn't put all their eggs into that BlackBerry 10 basket, because QNX by itself as a real-time operating system is really, really good, has a great reputation. Mm-hmm. So they left the original code base alone, thank goodness, and using it in cars. And my Chevy Silverado, I was going through all the settings yesterday, and I found the page talking about all the open source software that is contained in my vehicle's code base. And I should visit delphi.com/open source or something like that to see more details on which libraries and packages and scripts they use. So that, there's a chance I've got some QNX DNA in my car or in my new truck. Mm-hmm. And I hope there is, because it's a darn nice vehicle. And if BlackBerry had a hand in it, I'm good with that.
There we go. We always like supporting Canadian.
Of course. They were heading in the wrong direction for a really long time. And especially in tech world time. Mm-hmm. Like 2 years is an eternity, it feels like. Yep. And now they're actually profitable instead of losing like over $400 million Canadian this quarter last year. Massive turnaround.
That is a huge turnaround. So hey, good for them, and hopefully this upward direction will continue.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
Netflix
heritage minister. I was about to say health minister.
Heritage minister Melanie Joly.
Yep. She outlined a vision for Creative Canada. So apparently, Netflix is going to invest a minimum of $500 million over 5 years to create original productions in Canada in both official languages. They've also committed to spending $25 million in a market development strategy for French language content and production within Quebec and Francophone communities across the country, which includes pitch days for producers, recruitment events, and other promotional activity. They're also going to be promoting Canadian film. Basically this is them getting into the Canadian market. Now, some companies aren't impressed because there's still some uncertainty about, because there is existing funding. So the Canadian Media Fund, for example.
Yeah.
So this money is apparently not going in there. So it's not clear who's gonna get to use it to create. So there's still a little bit of unknowns, and some people think it's a great idea. Other people think it's a lousy idea. We're still not going to have a Netflix tax. The Liberal government's made it fairly clear about that.
Yeah.
And we're not sure if there's going to be a satellite office or stuff like that. But
I've heard that they're actually starting a Canadian production house. Like that's the goal here. They're actually going to I just heard that on CBC The House on Saturday. So they're actually going to put together a Canadian production house. And that's, I would imagine, who's going to run these pitch days for producers, recruitment events, other promotional activities, etc. Who will be deciding, whether that money gets spent on a season 2 of Anne or You know, another season of Discovery with Frontier with CBC, or, you know, movies or entirely new programs. So I don't think this is lousy. I don't think this is amazing. I'm pretty satisfied, though, with this result because, yes, okay, Netflix is going to spend $7 billion over the next, 5 to 10 years on original programming. From what I can tell, the Canadian government, I'm not going to use parties here, the Canadian government was able to secure $500 million of that.
Yep.
That's not chump change. That's 1, 2, 3. That's a lot of zeros divided by 7.
Well, and they're committed to that if they do. It's a binding contract, apparently.
Yeah, there we go. That's a lot of zeros. 7, 9 zeros, right? Billion. There we go. That's 7% of, I think. The macOS calculator does not use commas, unfortunately, and so it makes it really hard to figure out, like, is this billion or not? Anyway, it's a sizable chunk of the money that's going to be spent for a very small population worldwide, okay? We're 33 million people. That means they could easily justify spending $5 billion in the U.S. alone, and 20 billion on a market like, if there was better broadband penetration, a market like India or China, right? Like, this is, population-wise, this is actually really good. And yeah, it's Canadian content that will be seen anywhere.
Yes.
Anybody in Portugal, Spain, France, England, India, China, US, Mexico. Like, Netflix is freaking everywhere now. So... Yep. This is good Canadian content, hopefully good Canadian content that could be seen by anybody, almost anybody worldwide, and therefore could turn into these directors, these producers, these Canadian actors and actresses getting gigs elsewhere, and that's good for Canada in general. So I don't get all the, oh, well, this isn't a lot of money. Yes, it is! What do you mean it's not a lot of money?
I think what it is there's still a lot of entrenched attitudes with Canadian culture and stuff like that. And some of that has to go away, in my opinion. I remember going through school and, you know, they say, okay, we're going to watch some Canadian culture now. And the whole class would
go. Oh, God.
You know, so that has to change. We've got some good kick-ass stuff now, and people have to realize that.
And not to mention, like, Letterkenny is funny. But that represents maybe 10 to 15% of the way, you know, Canadians actually live. Most of us are in fairly urban areas. Yep. It's funny. I know people. I grew up with people like that. So I find it particularly funny. But certainly we're not all like that. And you know, I'd much rather see... spend $2 million making, you know, a really cool documentary about a couple of big Canadian bands, or something like that. Like, let's try and take away this historical, but probably even current, issue where, a lot of Canadians feel like, and maybe legitimately so, that they need to go elsewhere and make it big elsewhere before anybody at home will care about them. Well, maybe we can get away from that a little bit because Netflix, absolutely, it's not just about making content, it's about making really good content that makes people want to subscribe to Netflix to watch said content and then stick around for everything else. So they know what needs to be made, and I'm perfectly confident that good Canadian screenwriters and directors and producers, and therefore actresses and actors, will help them fill some of the holes that they almost certainly still have.
Amen. Amen. All right.
Let's move on.
So as part of this announcement, there's also going to be Facebook and DMZ and the Ryerson School of Journalism are going to partner to launch a digital news incubator. Quote, participants will receive startup funding and mentorship to accelerate innovative ideas that contribute to the digital development of journalism, end quote. So this is kind of, you know, anything that's going to help journalism. We know the challenges media companies are having these days with papers closing, staff mm-hmm. being cut, things like this. It'll be interesting with Facebook because, of course, mm-hmm. Facebook's got a whole – has its own set of issues right now involving the U.S. election Brexit vote. They want to get – you know, the government wants to get internet companies to be part of its own goals.
Yeah.
Now, apparently, there's also Facebook's also announced an election integrity initiative in Canadian politics. So based on what they've done with Brexit and the German election and the U.S. election, they have a long way to go. That's all I'm
saying. Just throw some more AI at it. Yeah, no, this is good. I like all the things, you know, for the most part, at least, all the things that came out of the Creative Canada announcement from the Heritage Minister and the ISED Minister, Navdeep Bains, and all that. This is good stuff, and it's good stuff that is late. Like, and it's not, I don't think it's the current government's fault, because they've only, they've been in power now for almost 2 years, but this is stuff that's really come to the forefront all of a sudden, and I think they're doing a pretty good job of tackling it. The whole issue around newspapers is, yeah, like, I don't really know what else to say. I mean, I just got a push, which I'll probably respond to in kind, from the local paper to subscribe, because yes, local news is important. There is no other way to find out except for attending every single event in Middlesex Centre and other places like Lucan Bidulph and North Middlesex and Strathroy Caradoc without going to every single event. There's no other way to actually find out what happens at local government meetings and junior B hockey games, maybe not junior B, but junior C hockey games and stuff like that. So, you know, the fact that there is a newspaper or two covering that stuff outside the city is important. Now, on the other hand, I don't want the paper every 2 weeks. What I really want is to pay the same amount of money and just have them update the website as things are reviewed and published. Unfortunately, the Strathroy Age Dispatch is owned by Sun Media, just like London Free Press is, Post Media. So I haven't been to the Age Dispatch website in a long time, mostly because I don't live in Strathroy and it's pretty Strathroy heavy. But but the Middlesex Banner has interesting stories. Like, I will gladly read them. I don't want another dead tree or recycled dead tree on my front lawn every 2 weeks, though. Plus, the news is then 2 weeks old in some cases. Pardon me. So I'd much rather get an RSS feed from the website, which I will pay for, $5 a month or whatever, and just give me the news as it's actually happening and being filed. So, like, right now, they have really, like, the filing deadline is, like, you know, the Monday morning before the paper gets released. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not news anymore. That's olds. Like, literally. Like, some of that stuff happened a week and a half ago before I get the paper. So, it's not always terribly helpful to me at that time. But anyway.
Yeah. All right.
I'll go talk to the owner of the banner and try and fix that myself instead of just complaining about it.
Oh, and do me a favor, make sure they separate their news and opinion pieces. Just saying.
Sure.
Okay.
I'll mention it.
I had a quick peek. There was some opinion stuff, or at least it better be opinion because it certainly wasn't news.
Okay. I will take that under advisement.
Or at least the reporter's personal opinion was really getting in.
Got
Let
it.
Me put it that way. All right, moving on. Under grumpy old men. Okay, this is an article from our good friends at Bloomberg. Men and women in tech both struggle to land work after 40. I can definitely attest to this.
You're probably feeling this right now.
Oh yeah, I went to a job fair last week against my better judgment. And it was basically as I assumed. Went to a couple of places that were looking for sysadmins or something like that. And, you know, they basically take you know, in one case, I'm not going to name names because I don't want to get sued. And who knows? Maybe they will hire me one day. In one case, gave the guy my resume, you know, said looking at sysadmin. And he basically said, well, just keep an eye on the website and apply for anything you think. And kind of shook my hand and that was it. You know, it's like, okay, I bet if I look back afterwards, I could see him putting it in the shredder. I'm just saying. Yeah, it's a real problem. And this kind of confirms what we're saying. You know, in some ways, some of the modern, you know, programming that, yeah, you're in a startup culture and stuff like that. But you know what, folks, there's also, you know, something to be gained for wisdom and experience. Yeah. Some of us older folks may not know how to code the latest language, but we know how to run projects and how to deal with that. And how to deal with customers and stuff like that. So, yeah, this one kind of hits me personally. So this is why I definitely wanted to make sure I plugged it in.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not really surprised. I am definitely disheartened, though. I mean, you know, everybody wants the job. So, yeah. You know, but and certainly there's something to be said. Something, maybe not a lot, but something to be said for hiring the younger person because they might be with you longer. However, that's actually highly unlikely in general because a lot of millennials are going to leave after probably 5 years, 10 at the most. So if you actually want somebody who can come in, impart a buttload of wisdom, or experience at least to your other employees while also doing the job and doing it well. And not to mention, those older folks are going to be way more willing, just in general, partly because they're older, partly because I'm sure they see the value in it more so than somebody coming straight out of university or college. They will help you document all that stuff, the processes, make sure the projects run well, etc., because they have been around the block a few times. They know it should be documented as well. You know, like that there's definitely something to be said for picking up those older folks, and not even just for a senior position, just it could be a junior position potentially, maybe that's all they know. But hey, while you're doing all this junior stuff that you're going to find boring for a little while, document it. Write it down, because we constantly have all these 20-somethings coming in who have no idea what to do, and I can't train every single one of them. So you could be a junior analyst or whatever, a junior sysadmin, and also, you know, sysadmin trainer or the process guy or something like that. Like that's...
And I think there's a lot... I think sometimes some of the companies are thinking, oh, if it's an older person, they're going to want more salary. They're gonna think by hiring a younger person, they're gonna be saving money, and that's not always the case.
No,
it's you know, as you said, if that person leaves fairly quickly afterwards, then you have to spend a lot of money to find someone else, go through the thing again. It's an interesting thing what's happening, because also you've got so many people applying for jobs these days. It's a crazy market. I applied to one, and I knew the ED. And I found out later there was over 400 people applying for a single job.
I saw ED yesterday morning.
Yeah, so I can appreciate how tough it is.
Yeah.
For people in HR to try and find, you know, people. So yeah, there's a lot of competition, but you know, there is. Now, you know, it's interesting how I've been reading some other studies, and some people are going into slightly different careers, and you know, maybe that's something. For example, myself, I'll have to go to. I'm trying to emphasize training now for my business and stuff like that. I do that well, but yeah, it is a frustrating thing. So it's something I wanted to highlight here.
Sure, I will say proudly, we didn't end up hiring anybody for this position for a while, but I will say proudly that the last position we were trying to fill at Olio. I was actually pushing for the 40-something-year-old guy because he knew his stuff and he knew what to do. And we didn't end up hiring anybody for a little while longer. He did end up getting another job somewhere else. Great. I'm glad. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I tried to see the value in the experience he's had. And for me, that made him the top candidate. So not that we needed another guy in the building, but... for me, it was just a no-brainer in that case. So, but anyway.
Exactly. All right, and our last story of the day, our good friend Elon Musk. He wants humans on Mars by 2024, Derek.
So do I, and I want to be one of them.
You got to clear with the boss. I know,
but... okay, so, well, first, I actually watched the whole presentation he just did for the International Astronautical Congress in Australia, and... you know, his typical, oh, stammer here, stammer there, but give you really cool information in a pretty quiet tone, and you just, like, let your own brain melt from the excitement to see going from the Falcon 1 to the Falcon 9 to the Falcon Heavy, and now the big effing rocket, which is the best name ever. It is really, really cool. And what I'm particularly interested in is, once again, continuing to do the same business model he does with Tesla and he's been doing with SpaceX, is letting the smaller incremental improvements pay for the bigger improvements that need to come later. So they're actually building a huge fleet of Falcon 9 and Falcon Heavy rockets so that all their customers in the next 5 to 10 years will have a rocket ready to go. You know, all the expendable parts, right? So the reusable parts, they've done, I think it's 16 launches in a row where they were able to re-land or to land the first stage rocket again and reuse it. Awesome. And so that's all. That's become quite reliable. Maybe not 100%, but that's quite reliable now. Mm-hmm. And now they want to turn that into the BFR. And So they're going to have a fleet of rockets to make sure that they can serve all the customers for the next little while and turn all their attention after that to the BFR design, production, of course. And apparently they've actually already ordered tooling and they're building the actual like hangar or whatever where they can actually build the BFR. So they're going for it. And... what I'm particularly excited about is to help make money to pay for then going to Mars is using the BFR as like a way cooler way to get around Earth rather than spending 5 or 6 hours or 24 hours in a plane.
Yep.
That to me is like, yes, give it to me now. Shut up and take my money. I would gladly fly to Portugal in 29 minutes rather than 5 hours. I know there's still going to be the typical, like, well, you're going to have to do customs, you're going to have to get to the spaceport, and now we're too early. That's fine, but you're literally cutting my flight time, the time in the air, from 5.5 hours to 30 minutes. Yep. Sign me up. And apparently it's going to be roughly the same price as economy class airfare now. What I'm particularly interested there, though, is... economy class varies a lot depending on seasonality. Yeah. So is it economy class in peak time or economy class in non-peak time or somewhere in between? I'll pay it either way because it's, you know, I can get to anywhere in less than an hour. Great. I will pay $500, $1,000 to get to China in an hour. That's fine. Yep. So that for me is really, really cool. And then all the stuff like visualizing the city on Mars and all that, that was really cool. Stuart, come with me. Come with me to Mars. Let's record. Let's record the Mars Tech Podcast.
Well, we certainly can't have one of us on one planet and one of us on the other.
No.
1 minute difference. No. So that's going to be it. Okay. Let's talk about something else awesome, namely our good friends at Olio.
Everywhere we go, they're within an arm's reach. They make us more productive, help us stay connected, and even entertain us. And every day they're helping organizations across Canada build a better tomorrow. At Olio Digital Labs, we are the planners, the designers, the builders of the custom web and mobile applications that are enabling small and medium-sized organizations across southwestern Ontario and powering some of Canada's largest brands. Large or small, organizations across Canada count on our focused development process to produce affordable, scalable mobile applications that can help fuel their futures. So whether developing a rock-solid e-commerce platform for an ambitious small market, developing a complex system integration for a national enterprise, or helping an organization of any size navigate application design and user experience, accessibility, and security compliance, We are your complete web and mobile production team. We are the experts to plan, design, build, and maintain your project. Find out what Olio Digital Labs can do for you by giving us a call or visiting us on the web at oleodigitallabs.com. Olio Digital Labs, code that powers every day.
And we'd like to thank Olio for also continuing to sponsor the Canadian Tech Podcast for the foreseeable future.
All right, on to stuff we like. I got nothing this week. Sorry, nada, nothing. I can say the weather. How about I just say the weather?
No. stuff you like. The weather. Did you not want to comment? Like, what do you think about the BFR or going to Mars by 2024?
No, no, I'm good. I'm good right now.
You don't? I mean, I think it's pretty aggressive. You don't think it's aggressive?
No.
Like, that's 7 years from now.
I know, but hey, Kennedy did it in less than a decade.
That's
now,
true.
Again, you know, so yeah, and depending on who gets elected next in the States, they might have a long queue of people wanting to leave the planet. See, I'm trying to be positive.
Fair enough.
You know, okay. now you're giving me the all negative news, man.
All right, fine.
Okay, what's your stuff? What's the stuff you like this week?
My thing I like is called Logo Joy. That's not that easy to say. It's a company out of Toronto, so that's nice. And it's it's a logo maker, but it actually feels quite different from all those other logo makers you've seen before. Basically, you put in the name of your company, you choose. I'll do Canadian Tech Podcasts. What do you do next? You choose five or more logos that you like from a what is this? 24, 36 different logos. John Snow Photography, Shave and Score, Men's Hairdresser, stuff like that. Well, fake ones. You choose a bunch of those, and then they actually start leading you through the process. There we go. You pick some colors that you like. So I'm going to choose green, or I would choose red because it's the Canadian Tech Podcast. You put in a little slogan. So Canada's take on tech. And it tells me it's too long, but that's okay. I can search for icons. Let's see. I need a maple leaf. Is it going to find any? Sure. Oh, there's a really cool digital looking one. Stuart, I think we might need a new logo. This is
careful,
really sweet.
Careful. I've seen another podcast with a similar digital maple leaf.
Just be aware. I killed them. anyway, and then it gives you some generated logos, and you click on your favorite, and then it walks you through the process of letting you customize the font, the icon, the slogan again, the colors. I find this much easier to use than a lot of those other ones, and I think the results are much, much better and far more creative. Ooh, this one's nice.
Hey, don't get distracted.
Yeah, than other ones I've seen before. And again, they're based in Canada. I think this is really sweet. So check them out. It's logojoy.com, and I think you'll like it.
All right. So what are we up to lately? I am loving this fall weather. It's finally here.
You are.
No more 40 degree humidity. Cool nights, lattes, sweaters. Hey, I've been out almost every day for my walk at 7 a.m.
Nice.
Even when I see my breath, it's awesome. No, I love fall. It's my favorite season of the year. So
cool.
I really like it. So, yep. Still job hunting, trying to promote Esclark Consulting. Been trying to promote a little bit more of the training side. Fairly busy weekend, actually. More and more library board stuff and some appointments and some coffee dates with people, stuff like that. So something on almost every day. So that should keep me out of trouble. What about you, sir?
What am I not up to?
Yeah, I know.
Tried to resolve a few things for some Middlesex Center constituents this week and the week before. I delved into the world of chatbots this week to help teach the rest of the Olio team what they're capable of. And, of course, to do some content marketing, write a blog entry for Olio about chatbots. I ended up building something I call DerekBot on a platform called API.ai. It was actually quite a bit of fun. And then I threw it out to the rest of the Olio team, and Nina, who's our designer, started pummeling it with questions that I hadn't anticipated.
Has it achieved self-awareness yet?
No, not yet. But there is a machine learning function that I'm going to enable.
It's going to kill us all. It's going to. So when the nukes fly, you know who to blame.
You can blame Derek Bot.
It's not Trump. It's Derek.
Yeah. So that's really cool. So I've already written a blog entry. I'm just waiting for that to get reviewed, maybe make some changes, then I'll post that this week. So if you follow Olio's blog or Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn, look for that. We also have a newsletter you can sign up for at oleodigitallabs.com. So check that out if you want. I've been finding a lot of new networking events to go to this month. I'm also looking at going to the Singularity U Canada Summit on the 11th and 12th. It's all day, both days. It's cheap, $20. It's being hosted at Ivy Business School. Cheapest thing you'll ever do at Ivy.
And what's it called again?
The Singularity U Canada Summit, singularityucanadasummit.org. So if you're going, look for me. I'm going to try and get approval to go to that because it's only $20 and hopefully meet some cool people and listen to some cool people talk. I ordered some new promotional postcards and new business cards for CleverHost with the right phone number on them. Those are coming later this week, should arrive later this week. And as part of that, I was working on CleverHost's affiliate program,
marketing. I noticed I got an email.
You did?
I got an email with my current affiliate balance. I'm doing
well. Oh, that's automated.
Okay. Well, just a second.
That's good. And I celebrated, or we celebrated, my youngest son's third birthday today.
Awesome.
So we had a plane party. We had a plane-themed party.
Drinking already.
Yeah, I was drinking at 9:30. I haven't drank anything alcohol since probably 1.
Which suspiciously is when the party ended.
Yeah, what's your point? I wasn't the only adult drinking at that hour.
I'm sure.
But it was really cool. We had a plane themed party, so the sign on the door said his name Airlines and then Gate 3. And everybody got a little passport, and we had your take home was in-flight snacks, which were way better than what you could actually get on a real airplane. That's and cool. And then we had a pair. Do you remember back in the 80s and maybe before that, these little styrofoam or just foam planes you could buy in little packages at the corner store? Yep. So those are back. You can buy them for like 69 cents at Canadian Tire. So I bought as many unique ones as I could, which I think come up to 7 or 8 different ones. And everybody put theirs together today. And we had a plane flying competition. Farthest throw and then most accurate throw to a target. My oldest won the most accurate throw. And my father-in-law won the longest. So that was pretty cool and a lot of fun. And we tried to do a paper airplane competition to do the same thing. But the paper we had wasn't effective. So we killed that, but it was a lot of fun and we had a good time. Oh, and Kathleen, made a cake that actually had like a runway and grass on it. It was really, really cool. And some planes from the movie.
That's
planes.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. A lot of fun. So if you want cake ideas or event ideas, call Kathleen. Because she came up with a ton in no time and executed them very well.
Cool. Excellent. So yeah, you've been keeping busy.
Yeah, as usual.
As usual. I know. In a way you're young, so you'll get tired eventually.
One day.
Okay. We also had an awful lot of other news we didn't get to. It was a fairly busy week. So we've put that in the show notes under noteworthy news. And it's something we're going to start doing. Stuff that didn't quite make air, we're going to still post the links in that so people can have a look at it.
Yeah, because so I just want to really quick, AI everywhere. Google's talking about, Google did this really little conference in Poland called Google Developer Days Europe. And they actually talked a lot about Google Assistant and where they're taking it and the sorts of things you can do with it. I'm like, I had no idea you could do these things with Google Assistant. Like, I got this thing in my pocket that's like, I thought was pretty powerful already, and I'm finding out is even way more powerful than I thought. An $80,000 AI challenge. The IBM is opening an incubator in Ottawa. Where is it? Oh, Quebec and Ontario governments, pardon me, signed an MOU to collaborate on AI research. Samsung opened an AI, or is opening an AI lab in Montreal. Microsoft talk about their quantum computing programming language this week at Ignite. Like, we are just headed for a crazy world in the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. And it looks like Canada will actually have a really strong role to play in that in at least one way. So, yeah, lots happening here. Check out the what we're calling right now the noteworthy news, but didn't quite make the cut, as you mentioned.
Right. Right. So definitely do that. And as usual, don't forget to review us on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Player FM, iHeart.com, or wherever else you get your podcasts from. Retweet us when we tweet about new episodes on Twitter. Share them on Facebook, like our group on Facebook, or even go old school like I do and tell a friend.
And even better, hang on, and even better, please review us. Ideally, give us 4 or 5 stars. 5 would be nice. Yes. Because we really like to grow the listenership a little bit more and do more things. And if you give us ratings on the various platforms, that you can find the podcast on, definitely, definitely helps. I keep forgetting to put the link for Spreaker in here too.
Link for Spreaker. So, and yes, give us nice reviews. We especially like reviews from good friends of the show. We're talking to you, Jamie. Hey,
Jamie, John Pylon, come on, Batista, come on, guys.
Let's go. Yep, you can do it. All right, or send us an email for some feedback, contact@canadiantechpodcast.ca. So, for episode 134 for Sunday, October the 1st, 2017, my name is Derek Clark.
My name is Derek Bott.
Thank you, and be well.